President Obama still hasn't released his nuclear posture review, but he's poised to cut thousands of warheads from the U.S. arsenal. At the same time, the current defense budget proposes lots more money for U.S. nuclear weapons labs. Greg Mello calls this the Obama paradox in an article he's written for the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. Mello is executive director of the Los Alamos Study Group, and it's a nonprofit research and advocacy organization. They keep a close eye on the Los Alamos Nuclear Laboratory, and it stands to be one of the big winners in this year's defense budget.
Here in New Mexico at Los Alamos, the Obama administration is proposing a 22% increase year on year. That's larger than any increase since the Manhattan Project, since 1944.
Now, is that a good number? Because the Obama administration wants to do something with pit production and change the direction of the weapons laboratories so that they're doing stockpiled stewardship. And this is going to make our weapons reliable, and Republicans in Congress are going to like this, and they're going to vote for a series of arms control treaties because they recognize that we have a safe, reliable deterrent.
Well, this is the general thought, but it embodies a few mistaken assumptions, I think, and also a bit too much hope. Let's see. On the mistaken assumptions part, our arsenal is very reliable, very safe, and very secure to the extent that it's guarded. We don't need to make more plutonium components for the stockpile because they will last about a century. And nevertheless, there's a fear that we might forget how to do that. And there is a discussion about the scale of the effort needed to keep from forgetting how to do this production, which is not actually needed. So there's that side of it. It's very expensive to make these little parts. They're not very complicated. They're just like a tennis ball out of plutonium, and then there are other layers of other metals. But they are very precise, and it is a very toxic material. It's very dangerous, and the country is poised to spend billions of dollars, several billion dollars, upgrading our production capacity for plutonium pits in the absence of any actual need. This does change the character of that particular laboratory quite a lot, and there's a lot of grumbling within the laboratory about it changing from a scientific laboratory, or at least in self-perception a scientific laboratory, versus more of a production facility.
Well, is that worth it for the Obama administration if they believe in changing the direction of our nuclear policy? That's a good trade. And in addition, they can get people to vote for the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty because we're doing all this testing on pit production.
Right. Well, that's hopeful. There are two treaties that the Obama administration would really like to have ratified by the Senate. One of them exists already, the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. The United States has no intention of conducting a nuclear test ever, really, and it would be very much against our national self-interest to do that because it would stimulate testing by other countries. We would learn little. They would learn a great deal. So there's no impetus to actually conduct a nuclear test. The other treaty that is not in place yet is a replacement for the START Treaty with Russia, which governs verification of stockpiles and overall size of strategic deployed warheads, not all warheads, just a subset of the warheads. And that is not in place. Russia is not in a big hurry to complete that. They're angry and concerned about missile defense systems being set up near their borders. And this seemed to be an easy problem last year, but it's dragged on, and there appear to be some underlying problems related to missile defense, and perhaps just the sense that Russia was taken advantage of at the end of the Cold War, and now we want to assert a little bit more. And there could be some Putin-Medvedev rivalry there, too. In any case, that treaty doesn't exist, but it's thought that it will exist. It has to be ratified. It's going to take Republican votes to do this. It takes two-thirds of the Senate to ratify a treaty. That's much more than, say, pass a health care bill. So you need about a quarter, really, to be sure, of the Republicans to ratify a treaty. So you have to buy those votes somehow. And in the case of the START replacement treaty, leading Republicans, I think, have either said they want it, or in the case of Senator Kyle, who's a very important figure because he's the whip and because he's very hawkish, he has said, in, given signals, that he might eventually vote for START, but he has to see quite a few hawkish, we would say, elements there. And what Obama is offering in his budget and possibly in the upcoming strategy document, which is expected in April, is partly calibrated to meet the demands of Senator Kyle and the other Republicans. Now, that's just for the START replacement treaty. When you get to the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, Senator Kyle is really against that treaty. And so Senator
McCain, Republicans pretty much feel differently than the way you described it previously in this interview. They feel like you've got to test and that they want to preserve the option to test and that that is important.
Well, yeah, they talk that way. I think it's a posture. I think that there's cool heads that they want to retain the option to test. Let's put it that way. And it's fine to say that in the Senate, but when you get in the White House and you look at things and you see what would happen if you test, well, then China maybe test, or India, Pakistan, Russia, everybody has their pet projects, their pet new warhead designs. They'd like to test India's nuclear test of hydrogen bombs. Didn't go very well. North Korea could test. It's a can of worms. And I think that it's more, personally, I think it's more of a posture in the Senate. But they don't like the treaty, that's for sure.
Well, what good does the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty do for the United States in general? Does it keep non-proliferation from happening because other countries can't test, and we see these little fizzle tests that North Korea and Pakistan have had, and if they don't get to figure out how to make the bombs, there's less bombs, that's good.
No question about it. It's a terrific treaty. It's one that is now signed by most of the countries in the world and ratified by a smaller but still majority number of countries in the world. There is, as a result of the efforts of many people, de facto norm against nuclear testing. It's getting harder to test, and more countries understand those dangers. So there's a norm which has resulted from the wide support this treaty enjoys. And then there's a monitoring system that the treaty has set up, which is really quite good, very worldwide, able to detect very small explosions and pinpoint them. Then there's another level, you might say, of effect of the treaty. It could become universal. It could enter into force so that no country, whether or not they signed the treaty, would be able to conduct a nuclear test.
Is part of the reason why the Obama administration likes the Test Ban Treaty basically because it would put down other people from making nuclear weapons, but it doesn't put down the U.S. necessarily from keeping its stockpiles strong? It's a lot different than when during the Kennedy administration they proposed the Test Ban Treaty. The idea there was that the United States would eventually lose a stockpile, that their stockpile wouldn't become verifiable and would it be part of a disarmament process of the United States. Now it isn't.
That's exactly right. So there's that aspect. We have so many archived test results, so much expertise. We have 90 or so weapons that have been gone all the way to deployment. Then there are other designs sitting around. We're an advanced nuclear weapon state. So the Test Ban Treaty doesn't affect us very much as far as the deterrent goes. It does affect tremendously a newbie in the game, somebody just starting. There are other reasons, however, why the treaty is important. It has acquired a cachet in arms control diplomacy circles and is considered by diplomats and by heads of state to be an important treaty, and that makes it important. And so yet I think it's important to distinguish between supporting the treaty and supporting ratification of the treaty by the Senate at this time. I don't think it's a good idea to go to the Senate and ask for ratification of the treaty at this time with a two-thirds constitutional requirement in this Senate. The price that you would have to pay, whether or not you succeeded, you'd have to pay a terrific price, a price so high that it would negate the purposes of the treaty in the eyes of most of the world, and people would be appalled.
Well, is the Obama administration already doing that in your eyes with the funding of the weapons laboratories with the START treaty here?
Well, they're right on the line. There's a lot of concern among the non-aligned countries. They've been watching this for a lot of years. Iran, China, they openly talk about the hypocrisy of the United States, and this plays very well with their allies, with other Arab countries. It doesn't help at all for people to see here in New Mexico plans for a $4.5 billion factory for plutonium pits when the country has 23,000 plutonium pits. It approaches an absurd situation, and everybody around the world sees it.
You're listening to Worldview on WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Jerome McDonnell, talking with Greg Mello. He's executive director of the Los Alamos Study Group, and they're a nonprofit research and advocacy organization working on nuclear issues. Greg, there is a lot of rhetoric that President Obama has put out there on this question. He made this speech in Prague. He says we're going to change our nuclear posture in this nuclear posture review. People are falling all over him and congratulating him for bringing down nuclear weapons and for being the, you know, disarmament president. Where do you think this is going?
Obama's in a tough spot, as anybody in his position would be. We are a hawkish country, really, on the world stage, and there are powerful interests which oppose nuclear disarmament. However, it's very popular politically. Poll after poll show that the most preferred policy for Americans and worldwide is a process of mutual nuclear disarmament all the way down to zero, if possible. So Obama has said this is his vision and his goal. He would like to seek it. And this is popular, and immediately, it seems, in historical perspective, the Nobel Committee said, wow, this is among the things that we really like. Well, the reality is much more intractable. To satisfy the hawks, we've talked about the Senate, but there are tremendous political constituencies in the weapons facilities, especially the laboratories, and they more or less, not control is too strong a word, but I really never see the senators from New Mexico do anything which is not in the interest of the two big weapons laboratories here.
And there's a series of other laboratories around Oak Ridge in Tennessee. There's a big connection between all of these, and they compete for funds. There's contracts. There's a lot going
on. That's right. In California, Tennessee, South Carolina, Texas, and Kansas City, Missouri. Those are the main sites. And those contractors are the contracts are very large. They're among the largest contracts made by the federal government. And if you go to I think it's usaspending.gov, you can see that for fiscal year 2010 that 7 of the top 10 federal contractors, period, are either managers of nuclear weapon sites or partners in them. So those forces are by no means small, and Obama has to deal with it one way or another. And he is trying to maximize the dovish message while minimizing the hawkish content, as it were. We feel that he is embodying a kind of politics of aspiration where we all hope things would be different. We seek for them to be different, but he's actually on the ground giving a lot of money and more money than Bush did to these nuclear contractors and to the nuclear weapons establishment, building it up more than Bush was able to do with the Democratic Congress.
If you were in Congress, would you vote for this kind of thing?
Would you? Not at all.
What do you think? Democrats are going to throw it back in his face and not vote it? I mean, Vice President Biden mentioned in his speech that a lot of Democrats might not like what they're proposing.
That's a good catch. He did say that. And I think Democrats need to look very carefully at the condition of the country and the kind of infrastructure we need to build, the kind of jobs we need to have, defense spending in general, and nuclear defense spending in particular, are extremely inefficient at creating jobs. But beyond that, they reflect our growing and shocking level of militarism in our society. They don't do anything at all for our energy and climate problems. In a way, we are just we're a lot like many late-stage empires just over the peak that keep looking back at former greatness and trying to keep doing the things that seemed good to do a decade, 3 decades, 5 decades ago. And we are not looking ahead to the real national security problems and the real economic security problems we face. People are afraid to make independent congresspeople, people in the White House, afraid to make independent decisions because they don't know everything, because they're not physicists. And we don't have the kind, quite yet, the kind of political courage that we need to say, look, this is a large part of this is a welfare program for PhDs, as Representative Hobson said a couple of years ago. He's retired now, unfortunately.
Greg Mello is executive director of the Los Alamos Study Group. They're a nonprofit research and advocacy organization. Thanks a lot for joining us and talking about the Obama administration's nuclear policies.
Thank you so much, Jerome.